All right, Kyle, we'll get us started here. I think we've covered enough with prayer and with magnifying the Lord this morning and knowing that it's all about Him anyhow. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Him. See, a lot of times we seek our healings, right? You know what I think we're missing? We're not really seeking the healer. You've got to seek the healer. That's who brings the healing. So healing, it's the children's bread. And we are God's children. So the healing bread is ours. It's ours. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 21 through 28. I'll give you a moment to get there, because I think I need to slow down a little bit sometimes. I just get so excited for the Word. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus left Galilee, and He went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to Him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. He ignored her. Then His disciples urged Him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, only because she was pestering His disciples, and they're now bothering Jesus. Jesus replied, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped. She bowed down before Him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Jesus didn't lay hands on the little girl, did He? She wasn't even present. He spoke the word, and the woman's daughter was instantly healed. Jesus had the power, and He still has the same power. And He has the authority to cast out demons, to bring about a healing. The same power to cast out demons and to bring about a healing is here today through the use of His name. The name above all names. We as believers are to use His name. He gave us the right and a privilege to, because we are believers. And I look out there and I see the seats filled with believers. Turn to Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Verses 17 and 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. That's you all. That's me. Wow, that's me. Yep. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You look at several different translations, and when it says, they will be healed when we lay our hands on the sick, it also means to be made well, to be made whole. Made whole as you were created in His image. Without sickness. He doesn't have sickness on Him, does He? And He doesn't bring about sickness. Whole. And it says, they will recover. They will recover. Recover totally. Not partway, totally. Greek word? Kalos. K-A-L-O-S. Kalos. But the key word here? Believe. Believe. Because it says, those who believe. Believe what? Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. But we make it hard. There's nothing hard about that. Believe in Jesus. So we have the power and authority in the name of Jesus to use it because we are believers. Let's use it. Let's use it. And how do you use it? In faith. Well, where do you get faith from? From God. You can't manufacture it. It's a gift. You don't think you have enough faith? You ask for some more. Lord, I need the faith to believe for this or that. Ask Him. Because each time He'll give you more of a measure of faith each time you ask Him. Here's a prayer that is taught to many children in Sunday school. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. All right. State it with me. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we all are fed. Give us now our daily bread. Cute little prayer. I think you all agree. But there's so much power in that prayer. I don't think we've realized the significance in it. Give us now our daily bread. The woman in this story, she realized that the crumbs from God's daily bread, what they had in, life-changing, life-sustaining, and life-giving power. In the crumbs, just the crumbs. You know, why are we taking in the crumbs when we can partake of the loaf itself and sit at the Master's table? Bread comes in all shapes and sizes, colors, textures, and flavors. Have you been to Panera Bread? Yeah. I know, Denny, you take her there all the time. Eleanor loves Panera Bread. So does Teresa. Okay. But have you seen the list of breads that they make? They make a one called a Country Rustic Farm Style XL. Asiago cheese. French baguette. Not spaghetti. Baguette. Them. Sourdough. Artesian. And several others. All kinds of different ciabattas. Right. And yes, they do make classic white bread. Bread is a staple in almost everyone's diet on the planet, except mine. Sorry. Stay away from the carbs. That's why it's so hard that I can only sneak the cheese off of Denny's pizza. That and the spinach that he always puts on. I always take that little part off. But even prisoners are given what? Bread and water. Bread is a symbol of life in His Word. God uses bread to illustrate more than just physical substance. The children's bread symbolizes His provision, His healing, His Word, and His very Son and what He accomplished with the finished work on the cross for every believer. It's called salvation. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Oh, the bread. And we're going to look at verses 48 through 51. Now, in my Bible, it's in a red. So who's speaking? That's right, Jesus. Verse 48, John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now where it says, if anyone eats of this bread, that is a synonym, that phrase is a synonym for faith. Faith. And He did this at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. He is, for each and every one of us, our daily bread. Nick, you came to mind when I thought of that? So I'm going to add Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 through 11. This is Jesus again speaking. And here's the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We go to Him for the daily bread. He is our sustainer, and He is our provider. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we all are fed. Give us now our daily bread. The Father did. He gave us the living bread. He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. Healing and everything that was promised from the cross is summed up in those last two lines of that little prayer for children that they say. See, so even though no matter how old we may become, we are still God's children. No matter what age we are, sir. You're still God's kids. Well, aren't you glad you're a child of the King? Think about that. Hey, you know what that makes you? Makes you a King's kid. What's that make y'all?
A King's kid.
Right. You're a king's kid. Hallelujah. Let it dawn on you. You're a king's kid. You are royalty. Royalty. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. The woman in this story, she had determination. She was a Greek Canaanite. She was a Gentile. A woman outside the covenant of God. See, Gentiles were looked down on by the Jews in those days. And they were commonly referred to as dogs. I was a low form in their eyes. But she wasn't concerned about what anyone thought of her that day. She was on a mission seeking help for her daughter. And that took precedence over everything. You ever been there? Yeah, I know. We all have. She had been to all the doctors. They ran all the tests. And they all had nothing to offer her. She had done all that she could do. She was now desperate. Why sometimes do we have to get to the point of being desperate? Think about that. When we should take authority at the beginning. Why wait? He doesn't want us to wait. You don't think that breaks his heart watching when we're waiting and not coming to him? All we have to do is ask. I don't see where he's turned anybody down. And he never did, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, folks. You know, she had to watch every day, day by day, month by month. The oppression was heavy on her. Something had to be done. And it had to be done now. For her, it couldn't wait any longer. So she no doubt had heard of the countless miracles that Jesus had done for so many people, for multitudes. Wherever Jesus went, he turned all expectations from hopelessness to hopeful. Because, see, when the people came to him, they came expecting. When you go to the Lord, do you go expecting? Do you go expecting to receive? So when you go, you ask and you pray. And when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have them. What? What you're praying for. See, for her, when she looked at Jesus, it just seemed like life just effortlessly flowed from him. As every impossible circumstance and every hopelessness in every situation that she had heard about, it was turned around time after time after time. You don't believe me? It's right here in the Word. It's the Word. He gives us the Word. And when we read the Word, it helps build our faith, our trust, our belief, our confidence in Him. That's why it's so important for the believers to be in the Word. It's the Word, the Word, the Word. She had heard of those stories and of his great compassion. See, Jesus operated in compassion. It was as if her prayers came true. See, and I believe that it was no coincidence. Here, he was in her own hometown, And she believed. And if that wouldn't have been the case, I wouldn't be able to tell you this story today. Doesn't matter how many miracles she had heard about. See, they didn't affect her and her daughter's situation until she started to believe that what he had done for so many of those others, he could do for her as well. See, something had began to well up on the inside of her. Hope, it started to sprout. I saw a thing on the internet the other day, and it showed a seed that was planted. And it showed how it just slowly broke apart. And as it came up out of the ground. And it started to grow. And it started to grow. That's what was happening with her. That's what was happening with her. And her faith began to rise. And it caused her to take action. It took action on her part. Her faith took action. James, look to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Look to verse 17. James, by the way, y'all remember that is Jesus' half-brother? Yeah. Jesus' half-brother. He got his words in here. Can you imagine that? Sometimes we look at our older siblings and brothers and we look at them like, who do they think they are? You know? He became an apostle. He became a disciple of his own brother. Because he realized who he was. He was a son of man, but he was the son of God. Verse 17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Here's the Voice translation. The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it is as good as dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but it takes action. It takes action. The moment she realized it wasn't about what she could do any longer, and it became about what Jesus could do for her, was the moment that Jesus started to work behind the scenes. Yes, he was working behind the scenes on her behalf. And he met her where she was because of her faith. Where did she get the faith? From him. From him. He imparted faith to her. She believed in him. Now she needed the faith. He gave her the faith. She knew about all these miracles that had happened. If they happened for them, they could happen for me. So he gave her the faith. He gave her the faith. It was a divine appointment, and it was about to take place. He was passing through her town. Unmerited favor and grace was strolling down the street. And the name of her street was called Miracle Street, folks. It was called Miracle Street. When you take a step of faith, Jesus will take two steps towards you. You have to take the first step in faith. How's our song go, Diane? Just take a step of faith. When you can't see your hand in front of your face, take a step of faith. Take that step, and he'll step towards you closer. With a step of boldness, she forgot about who she was. It wasn't about her anymore. She decided to cast aside what people we're going to think and cast everything on Jesus. Cast it all on Jesus. She trusted in the Lord with all of her heart. She realized when you have a need, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter what other people think. In fact, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. See, they're not the ones who are going to be able to perform that miracle for you that you need. Only Jesus is. Only Jesus. She had only one objective when she approached Jesus: the healing of her daughter. But Jesus paused and he didn't answer her right away, did he? You see, even though he knew what she was going to say, he still wanted to give her the opportunity to say it. Her miracle she needed for her daughter was in her mouth. It wasn't about what she was going to hear at that point anymore. See, another sermon for her wasn't going to do it. She had already heard enough. It was time to act. Time to act. See, it wasn't on the outside coming in anymore. It was already on the inside waiting to come out. Did you hear that? She had heard. And now it moved to believing in her heart. You've heard, and you've heard, and you've heard. Move it into your heart. Move it out of your head. Move it out of the head. Move it into the heart. She was moved into action on what? She had heard. Her faith was ready. James, you're there. Look to verse 22, 24. James chapter 1. This is the Message Bible. By the way, Dean, I know you're not here, but thank you for that awesome video that you sent me the other day on the man who wrote the Message Bible. Verse 22, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. And every time I read this and was reviewing it, all I could figure is I wanted everybody to be able to go, put the finger in this ear so that when it comes in, it'll boom. It can't get out, so it's got to go down, right? Because when it's here, it goes. Didn't take a chance to drift down. Goes on to say, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like. Faith without action is dead. You can hear all the sermons about healing in the world, but until you apply it to your own life and believe that Jesus can do it for you in the middle of your circumstance, it won't happen. The disciples came and asked if they should send her away. They wanted to shut her up because she was making so much noise. Boy, those guys didn't have any compassion at all. None whatsoever. They didn't even go on her behalf and say, Jesus, do you hear? She has a need. No. Hey, can we get rid of her? She's really bugging all of us. Compassion. You know, when somebody tells you that they're hurting and something's going on, don't say, suck it up. What's the word say? You're healed by Jesus' stripes. Get on with it. That's not what they want to hear. You need to have some compassion. You need to look at that individual and say, wow, can I pray with you? You know, and then you take time and you pray with them. You don't bring condemnation on them. You bring hope on them. You pray for them. You encourage them. That's what you do. That's how Jesus operated. Compassion. He had a love for people. And he didn't care if they needed to be fed. He took care of it. He paid the bill. He fed each and every one of us in the world. Think about that. His bread satisfies us. He is the bread of life. He is the children's bread. How many of you know this? Brother, every time I read this, I think of you. True faith is relentless. It never stops. It never quits until it gets its result. At that point, though, Jesus stopped and he turned and he looked at her and he said, "Woman, I was sent only to those lost sheep in the house of Israel." Now, she was probably expecting to hear anything but those words that came out of his mouth. Even though she was momentarily stunned, I think we all would be, by what he had said, she still knew, though, that he was her only hope. True faith is relentless. It never stops until it gets its desired results. She came and she bowed down before him and she pleaded again, "Lord, help me." You don't know what to ask for sometimes? "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And when he said, "What do you need?" "I don't have faith for this. Can you give me that faith?" "Sure, I'll give you that faith. All you have to do is ask." And what did he reply to her? He said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." See, he still wasn't moved by her to act on her behalf. All her cries, all her desperation, and all her pleading. So can I say this? Our cries, our desperation, and our pleas, they don't move the hand of God. Our faith does. It's our faith. Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who," Brother Dean, "diligently seek him." Diligence. And she had to respond to him. And what was her response? "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's tables." True faith is relentless here. It never stops until it gets its desired results. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified. That's the Bible I cut my teeth on, folks. That's the only Bible you're going to find where it says, simply believe. Verse 7, Matthew chapter 7. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking receives. Finds. To him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. Keep on keeping on, folks. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. True faith is relentless. It is relentless. Verse 9. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will instead give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will instead give him a snake? If you then, evil, sinful by nature, as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give what is good and advantageous to those who keep on asking him. That's Jesus speaking to you. When you think about who's speaking, that ain't your pastor up here speaking. I'm only repeating what Jesus said. This woman wasn't asking for much. All she wanted was the crumbs. The crumbs. She knew, though, that there was healing in the crumbs. In the crumbs alone. And Jesus responded to her, "Dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. She was instantly healed. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the rightful, normal, expected substance of every child of God. We are His children. It is our God-given inheritance. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands, we all are fed. Give us now our daily bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Again, John chapter 6, verses 48 through 51. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it. Then he passed it around and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Amplified. We there, Nick? All right. But, in fact, He has bore our griefs, and He has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assumed that He was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by Him. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our weaknesses, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on Him. And by His stripes, by His wounds, by His broken body, we are healed. Jesus, the bread of life, was broken for us. There's healing in the bread that was broken for us. And that bread is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's take time. And I want you to prepare your hearts. We're going to get ready to take communion now. Because I think this is where we should stop. Because it's so important about the bread.